gifted to grow, go, and show. That's what this series is all about. The goal is to help you identify the spiritual gifts that God has given every one of you. And if you haven't taken the spiritual gifts profile, the link is on your outline here today. Try to connect with that. Take a few minutes when you're free and find out how God has gifted you to serve the package of gifts that He has given you. Every one of you has at least one. The chances are good you have more than one. Do you know what those are? And then once you discover what they are, the bottom line is to put them into practice, to use them, to put them into service. First of all, when you do that, you will grow. You will grow spiritually. You will encourage others by the use of your gifts. They will uplift and edify other people. And in addition to that, ultimately, it will bring God the glory. So when we use the word show in this series, it's not for us to show off. It's not for us to show what we have. It's to show how awesome our God is, who has given us these gifts to use for His glory. Today, we're going to be looking at gifts number 9 and 10 in this series, knowledge as well as wisdom. We're going to start by looking at the gift of knowledge. The spiritual gift of knowledge is the supernatural ability that God gives to some people in the body of Christ to discover, gather, and analyze information that can be used in some way to build up and to encourage others in the body of Christ. To discover, gather, as well as analyze facts, information. My experience is in the body of Christ that people that have this gift are a small percentage. This is not a common gift in the body of Christ. But what we're going to find out about both knowledge and wisdom, that even if we don't have these gifts, they are still things that God gives us that we need to put into practice. So even if you don't identify this as one of your gifts, it can be very helpful in your Christian life. Sometimes people will have the gift mix of teaching and knowledge or administration and knowledge. In other words, this gift is often a partner gift with others. If someone has the gift of teaching or administration, that means that he or she definitely needs access to knowledge. That's what helps feed their spiritual gifts. Sometimes God will give these people a package of both teaching and knowledge, or administration and knowledge. If you don't have both of those, and you are a teacher or you're involved in administration, you're going to definitely need to have access to knowledge so others can help you with that. Today, the fruit of knowledge can be passed on so strongly through books, through e-books, through social media. These people with those gifts can help us in the other gifts that we have. The person with the gift of knowledge really loves research and study. That's a second characteristic. Enjoys research and study. Right now, some of you are cringing at that thought. Research? No, don't think I want to do that. Students in this area that have had the week off are going to have to be diving back into studying again. It doesn't sound real exciting. So here's the good news. If you are cringing at that thought, you can relax because that's probably not your spiritual gift, okay? It's okay to let it go. Those with this gift have an extraordinary ability to be able to absorb information. They receive it. They love it. They live for it. And then they can communicate that to other people, either through speaking it or sometimes through writing that information so others can have it. Not everybody that has the gift of knowledge can share it orally very strongly. In fact, all of us can relate to this. Going through school, you have probably somewhere had a class with a teacher who had incredible knowledge but didn't really communicate it in a very engaging way. It was kind of boring in that class. Very smart, but didn't have that gift of being able to communicate it. And that's okay. In the body of Christ, that's why God gives us variety. We have different gifts. Please understand this about the gift of knowledge. The facts and the details that are shared must be lined up with the Word of God. It's critical that the knowledge that is shared must be based in the Word of God. It must be biblically oriented, strongly connected with the Bible. If you along the way have people come to you and seek to share knowledge with you, and it is not consistent with the Word of God, don't listen to him or her. Don't take their advice and follow it. There are some people today that are trying to add to the Word of God. We don't need to add to it. We just need to know what it is and how it's revealed to us today. The Scriptures also always need to be the foundation of our truth for life. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Because these two verses show us the awesome power of the Word of God. All Scripture. Do you hear that? Not just part of it. All Scripture. Everything that's in the canon that has been revealed to us today is God-breathed. It comes from Him, from His heart, from His wisdom and knowledge. And look what it's useful for. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does this mean? Even if you and I do not have the spiritual gift of knowledge, we need to really dive into the Word of God to learn more and more about the facts of His Word. How are you doing in that part of your life, by the way? Is this a daily part of your life? Getting into the Word, trying to learn more and more about His Word. Because if we do that, He is going to teach us how to walk through life. I want you to envision the path that God has for you. Because on that path, we read in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, what God will do as we learn more and more about Him. All Scripture is good for teaching. In other words, God shows us how to stay on the path. He gives us His guidelines for that. So what happens if we step off the path? If we move off that path, that's when He will let us know that we have left His path. That's when He will rebuke us and say, "You're off the path." And then He will show us how to get back on the path. That's the next part of that verse. For correcting us, to get us back on the path that we need to walk down. And then the last part of that is to be trained in righteousness so that we can stay on His path and not fall off the path that He has for us. That's what the Word of God does for us. It leads us down the path of life. So we need to get into His Word and make it a regular part of our life. Today, I'm a 44-year-old follower of Christ this year. Okay? 44 years I've been following Him. 44 years I've been trying to study His Word. And I just want you to know today that I am more amazed than ever before at the relevancy and the wisdom of the Word of God. I am more and more blown away by its truth and by its effectiveness if we will put it to work. So I want to really encourage you to keep in mind that you can continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. We're going to look at a couple of examples of the gift of knowledge as it's received here in the Bible. Both of these come from Peter's life, and both of these will give us some practical application on how we can use God's knowledge in our life. The first is the encounter that Peter has with Ananias and Sapphira. Do you remember that story from Acts chapter 5? It's not a real pretty picture, but in it we learn something. Peter is given knowledge. That knowledge is passed on to us. What's happening here? Earlier, Barnabas had sold a piece of property. He took the proceeds from that. He gave it to the kingdom of God for all of those dollars to be used for the kingdom. And then we see later that another couple sells a piece of property. This time, we know their names as Ananias and Sapphira. What do? They keep part of the proceeds, of the sale, and then they give part of the money for the kingdom of God. As we read the total story, it's really clear in the context of the story that they claimed to give everything that they got for the sale of the land, for the kingdom, just like Barnabas did, even though in reality they had only given part of the money for the kingdom. And it's absolutely fine if that's all they decided to do. If they decided to just give part of it, that would have been fine. But what did they do? They lied about it. They were trying to make themselves look better. And so pride entered the issue, and they're lying. What happens? God reveals this knowledge to Peter. Peter finds out what they have done. He receives that knowledge. He knows that Ananias and Sapphira have been hypocritical. And here is some knowledge and application that we can take away from this story. It's really sad what happens. But let's learn. Let's receive some knowledge from the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They pay a heavy price for their hypocrisy. They both die. Both of them die. As I'm reading this story, you probably had this same question. Why do they die? When every single moment there are hypocritical people everywhere who are trying to impress others with their spiritual resumes. Why are they the ones who die? This is what I believe. The church is in its beginning. It's in its infancy stages. The church is just starting. I believe God wants people in every generation to learn an important lesson, a sobering lesson, about the devastating consequences of hypocrisy. This is something that God is trying to teach right away from the very beginning. Don't live a lie. Don't try to make people believe that you are better than you are. Don't bring the attention to yourself. I believe that God wants the story of Ananias and Sapphira to warn all of us to avoid this lifestyle of hypocrisy and to choose another freedom. What is the freedom? To live with integrity. Consistency. We're not playing games. We're not being fake about who we are. We're being real, genuine people. Live with honest integrity. Don't try to impress others. That's not why we're here. That's a lesson that we can learn from the knowledge that God gave to Peter about this story. Peter shows us another example of knowledge, and this is in Matthew 16. What happens here? He answers a question that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Peter's answer to Jesus' question. We read about that in Matthew 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked another question. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." What does God do in this exciting answer? God gives Peter the knowledge, the insight into the truth, the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior. Today, we have access to the awesome Bible, the Word of God. And in it, we have all the teaching that we will ever need while we are on this planet. It is enough. The Holy Spirit does not have to give us new biblical truth. We already have the Bible. The Holy Spirit's job is to help us as we read His Word to discover the knowledge that we need to live life, to go through this life, to have the revealed truth of God's Word. So let's all grow in our knowledge of the Word. Let's learn this from the spiritual gift of knowledge. Even if we don't have it, we can grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. No matter how many years you've followed Christ, no matter how new you are to the Christian life, God has knowledge that He wants to pass on to you. Now, let's look at the second gift today. The gift of wisdom. And that word wisdom comes from the Greek word sophia. And by the way, there have been a lot of parents in recent years naming those precious little girls Sophia, haven't they? That word means wisdom. That is the Greek word. What is the definition? We see it here of the spiritual gift. The supernatural ability to receive and to share practical insight into how the knowledge that we receive can be used to help the body of Christ, to meet specific needs that are in the body. Please understand this about the definition. We receive wisdom. We don't create it. We don't come up with it. The wisdom always comes from God, which is true with every spiritual gift. So let's look at some of the characteristics of this spiritual gift of wisdom. The first one is really indicative of all the spiritual gifts. It helps believers grow. Remember, that's one of the designs of each spiritual gift that we have, to help others, to encourage others. Look at Colossians 1, verse 28. He, speaking of Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? Look at the next phrase. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. The ultimate goal of the gift of wisdom is to help people grow in their relationships with Christ. Knowledge is important, but knowledge must be connected to wisdom. Knowledge must be put into practice. Wisdom is the goal. It leads to the application of our Christian faith. The old truism about this speaks loudly, doesn't it? About the importance of the application. Am I going to just talk the talk, or am I going to walk the walk? Facts, information, they're great. But if we're not putting them into practice, then we're not living the Christian life. Wisdom always leads to the application of life. And here's what we need to understand, as I shared earlier. Wisdom always comes from God. God is the source of wisdom. Look at what we read about that in Colossians chapter 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Do you hear that? All the wisdom that we need is in Jesus Christ. The closer we draw to Him, the more we can draw from His wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, and this is a description of how different the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God is. Jimmy referred to that in his introduction of the Scripture and in his prayer time. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Do you hear that? God is saying the wisdom of the wise isn't what we need, not the wisdom of this world. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. What is that saying to us? We're involved in an upside-down kingdom. The wisdom of God is completely, antithetically opposite of the wisdom of this world. Which system are you buying into? Which system are you following with your heart and spirit? I hope you are pursuing the wisdom of God. And is the case with knowledge? All wisdom should line up with Scripture and be received through prayer time with God. That's the third characteristic of wisdom. It should always line up with Scripture and with our prayer time, our time spent with God. We're given this incredible promise in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Let the truth of this sink in. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? Look at this next sentence. But we have the mind of Christ. Let that promise sink in now. Follower of Christ, you can be connected to the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit of God, through the teachings of His Word. We can have His wisdom. This is always my number one prayer. When somebody asks, hey, how can we pray for you? Would you pray that as a leader, I will always be connected to the source of God's wisdom, that He will grant me His wisdom? So what happens when people with the gift of wisdom seek the mind of Christ? God will use them in many ways in the body of Christ. If this is your gift, here's what He'll use you to do. He'll help you to solve difficult problems that people are facing, to resolve conflict between people who are not following the principles of God. Can I just tell you something simply, folks? If you want to have good relationships, follow the teachings of the Word of God. Follow His wisdom. That's the solution. That is the answer to all conflict, to all differences, to all sin issues. It all ties in to the Word of God. And God will also use people with the gift of wisdom sometimes to even defend Christianity, to be involved in apologetics. What happens along the way is that when it's clear that someone has the gift of wisdom, people will find you and they will ask for your input. They will ask for your prayers, for your thoughts. People will go and ask for advice. Sometimes this wisdom that people give comes through lessons that are learned in life. Maybe you've gone through an incredibly difficult situation, and God has brought you out of that. And now it's a new chapter. God could use your story, your history, to help somebody else who is going through a tough time. God can use you in that time. Some of these experiences may be good. Some of them may be very painful. Either way, God can use you. Sometimes a team will gather together to try to come up with a solution to an issue they're facing. And people will talk back and forth. They'll share their opinions. People lay it all out on the table. And then along the way, somebody with the gift of wisdom will say, hey, here's a thought. Maybe this is how we could handle this situation. And then the people there are saying, wow, that's pretty awesome. That sounds good. And it draws them together in unity. And that team, whether it's friends together, whether it's a family, whether it's a work team, whether it's a connections class, work together towards a project, towards something that will bring glory to God. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Always, it should not draw attention to us. It always brings glory to God. This gift should never be accompanied by arrogance or pride. And that's what James tells us in chapter 3, verse 17. This week I made a short Facebook post, and I mentioned this reference because as I meditated on this verse, it really impacted me. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's perfect, folks. It's God's wisdom. Then, peace-loving. It will bring unity among all who have differences, if wisdom is applied. Considerate. We're kind towards others. Submissive. That means we're always looking out for the needs of others, even before our own needs are met. Full of mercy and good fruit. Impartial. There's no prejudice. And sincere. There's your integrity that we were talking about earlier. That's the way to live with the wisdom of God. So let's look at a couple of examples of the gift of wisdom. And the first one has to do with what I call Jesus and the coin. Jesus has the ultimate wisdom. He always displays perfection in these gifts. The Jewish leaders are trying to trip him up one day. And so here's what we read that goes on in Mark 12. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. They're trying to kind of get on his side a little bit so they can trip him up. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And then they ask this question, is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. There's the knowledge that he has. And then he asked, why are you trying to trap me? He asked. Bring me a denarius. and let me look at it. They brought the coin, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Now, along the way, we tend to interpret this in a unique way. My son Derek writes some devotional thoughts, and he's got a link. I've actually put that link on your outline today if you ever want to check some of these, because God really channeled his wisdom through my son's devotional on this story as I was reading this. Many people focus on this and say that all Jesus is trying to tell us to do is to just make sure you give your tithes and offerings to God and then pay your taxes to your country. That's what he's saying. No, Jesus' wisdom is so much deeper than this. In the Roman denarius, which, by the way, a denarius is a full day's pay. It's a pretty good bit of money. On that coin is a picture of the king with the words Tiberius Caesar, and also the words on the other side of the coin, son of the divine Augustus. Now remember this. Tiberius is saying he's from that heritage. This coin is really making a statement that Tiberius, as the king, as the Roman leader, rules the whole world. That's the statement that this coin is making. So how are we living? As followers of Christ, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the king over all the world, over the whole planet, and that he owns every breath we take, every talent and gift that we have today in our lives, and every possession that we temporarily hold in our hands. It's all his. That's the point that Jesus Christ is trying to make. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Do you believe he owns it all? Or do you believe that God owns it all? What belongs to God today? Have you turned it all over to him? Have we turned everything over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? There's the wisdom from this story of Jesus and the coin. And then we see another story about how God gives Peter, again, a part of the picture, great wisdom at a very important time in the growth of the New Testament church. We call this Peter and God's amazing grace. The gospel has gone to the Gentiles. It's spread from the Jews to other people. And that's God's plan, by the way, for the best news to spread to all the planet, for everyone to hear about him. Many Gentiles are choosing to follow Christ in this first century world. And at this point, some of the early Christ followers who used to be Pharisees stood up in this meeting in Acts 15, and here is what they said at the end of verse 5. The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. In this story, by the way, we are finding the oldest heresy, the oldest false teaching in the history of Christianity, and it still breeds itself in our culture today. And that is trying to add anything to the grace of God for salvation. This is what people say around the world, that there are things that you need to do in order to earn God's forgiveness. There are things that you need to accomplish in order to be able to go to heaven. You've got to be good enough. The Jewish leaders are saying, hey, these Gentiles, they need to become like us. They need to become like Jews. They need to follow all the man-made traditions that we have. That's basically what they're saying. So what happens? The apostles and the elders get together. They discuss this issue. And then Peter stood up and displayed the awesome wisdom of God in Acts 15, verses 7 and following. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God? By putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have ever been able to bear? What is that yoke? That salvation is by grace plus works. Grace plus traditions. No, it's not. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Is that a great word to hear in the early part of the birth of the church? God gave Peter such great wisdom to pass on to them as well as to us today. The most amazing part of the gospel is Jesus Christ. That he gave his life for us. That he offers us salvation through the sacrificial death that he made on the cross. And part of that story is his amazing grace. He takes us where we are and loves us so much that he doesn't leave us there. But he brings us with him through life. He miraculously moves us to a place that we could never have gotten on our own. What is that called? Salvation. Through Christ, by faith, through the grace of God. Oh, never take that for granted. Continue to be amazed. And today, as I was thinking about his amazing grace, I was drawn to a video that really moved me. And I want to encourage you with this video. A woman singing the song Amazing Grace. People's testimonies and lives who have been changed by the amazing grace of God. Let's focus on his awesome grace. Pictures, the one that moves me the most is that young man sitting in the wheelchair with a big smile on his face. I've probably seen this video 8 times this week and shed tears every single time. The amazing grace of God. Have you received it yet? It's to step into his family to receive his gift of grace by faith and trust in Christ. Can some of you relate to any of those people who were up there? Do you need his amazing grace today? Receive it. It's his gift to you. Father, I pray that people here today, everyone, will be moved by your amazing grace. Thank you for the knowledge that we have in the Word that has been passed on to us. We've heard this story. Thank you for the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us to understand our part in that story, and show us how we can live with amazing grace wherever we go. Touch the lives of all who are gathered here today. And God, may we be messengers. We know the story. Give us wisdom on how and where to share it. For those who are gifted in this area, continue to use them in your body to build up the body of Christ. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the things